live for the No Panic Zone. I'm Steve Gerber. God bless America. I am America's voice here on Wednesday, March the 3rd, 2021. Good to have you along, my friends. And here are three big things you need to know right now. Number three, a big setback for the Biden administration as Neera Tanden is withdrawn as the nominee for the Office of Management and Budget. There could be other cabinet members that fail soon as well. We'll keep an eye on that. Number two, in Michigan, another Democrat governor in real political trouble as Gretchen Whitmer and her administration trying to explain or not explain why they paid off the former director of the Department of Health and Human Services with taxpayer cash and now another deputy, too. And number one, the coming invasion at the southern border could leave America reeling and the Democrat Party in tatters, but not according to me. That's according to members of the Biden administration and Democrats in Congress that see a flood at the border as a dire threat to the nation and to their political future. Some say it's a bigger problem than the fading pandemic. I would agree with them. The invasion of the southern border, much more dire now than the pandemic that seems to be fading. And we have, of course, Texas and Mississippi declaring that they will be open 100% within a few days. No mask mandates. They're all done with it. So what about the president? What does he think about what's happening at the southern border? Is it a crisis? We get a passing comment here from Joe Biden. It's not really easy to hear, but I want you to hear it nonetheless. It's bite number one with the president on the southern border. Is there a crisis? Listen.
Did you receive a briefing about the border today?
Yes, I did.
What did you learn?
A lot.
Is there a crisis at the border, sir?
No crisis at the border. And there you have it. And something else that is just so striking about that. He shuffles off. Kamala Harris, never more than a foot or two away. He has to have somebody with him. He's never alone. He's never alone with a reporter anywhere within proximity. Because the fear is that he would stop and start answering questions in an incoherent, ineffective way. So Kamala's there. Oh, isn't it nice? He works so closely with the vice president. That has nothing to do with it. She's there in case he gets himself in trouble. She can yank him out of there. Oh, Mr. President, we have to go now. Oh, Mr. President, can't answer that. We have to go now. That's what that's about. He has no idea what's going on. He's not coherent. He's not. Let me put it this way. Here we are. It's March the 3rd. There has been no address to a joint session of Congress. Nearly unheard of in the modern era of presidents in the United States. Most people would refer to it as a State of the Union address, but really it's a joint session of Congress address. We've not seen one. He's been in office 6 weeks. He has not held a press conference of any sort. He's answered a few questions like the one you just heard, and that's it. Any president that was up to the job, any president was capable of fielding questions without them being written out on a 3x5 card would have done so weeks ago. Any president that was actually capable of doing the job would have delivered a speech to a joint session of Congress. He's capable of neither. Anybody that voted for this guy ought to take a real accounting of where we are. He projects incredible weakness. Who's going to make the call on going to war? Who's going to make the call to defend this nation? Who's going to make the call if something critical happens at 3 a.m. because Jilly isn't waking up Joe Biden? It would be funny if it weren't so damn serious. But it is very serious. Look at Joe Biden. He is not up to the task of being president of the United States. He's not up to the task of being grandpa to his grandkids, who, by the way, he can't remember how many he has or what their names are. Let all that marinate for a bit. What do you think they think in Tehran or Beijing or Moscow or Pyongyang or anywhere else where our enemies dwell? Do you think they look at Joe Biden and they look at him with fear or respect? How about neither? That's the true problem right now. There is no leadership in Washington, except for these far-left radical progressives who want to drain all of the money out of your pocket to pass it around to people they hope will vote for them in a couple of years. That's the real danger we face here, buying voters for the next election while draining your pockets and leaving America in a completely vulnerable position. That's what frightens me. That's what concerns me with Joe Biden. There's not even a modicum of leadership there. It's a void. It's a vacuum. Completely vapid. Meanwhile, Jen Psaki does her best to defend the positions of the indefensible positions of the administration. For example, Jen Psaki asked yesterday quite clearly, would this administration force doctors, say Catholic doctors, that refuse to do abortions, to force them to do the procedure, regardless of what they believe or what their moral stance would be? Seems like a pretty straightforward question. The answer should be, of course we wouldn't do that. But of course, she leaves the door open to force doctors of faith to do whatever they are told to do. Don't question us. You will do as you're told. Listen to this from Jen Psaki.
There's pro-life groups right now very concerned about the phrase pregnancy discrimination in the Equality Act. You're familiar with that, I'm sure. That it would force doctors to perform abortions, even if it violates their conscience. There are also concerns the bill would force doctors to perform gender transition surgeries and sterilizations, again, even if it violates their conscience. What does the president, President Biden, say about those concerns?
The president's been a long supporter of Roe v. Wade. It has been his consistent belief that should be law, and he will fight to continue to protect that as being law.
Conscience concerns is not a concern of his?
No, I think, again, I'm just going to state what the president's policies are. Did you have another question?
Will President Biden keep the Conscience and Religious Freedom Division at HHS, the office that was put in place under President Trump, will keep it in place to receive conscience complaints from those doctors?
You'll have to talk to a future Secretary Becerra once he is confirmed.
So she leaves the door open. It's an easy question. No, of course we wouldn't force doctors who are opposed to abortion to perform that procedure. Of course they will. You want to keep your license to practice medicine? You must do this. That's what they're being told. You want to practice medicine, pal? You'll do this. And if you have a problem with that, we'll just take your license because we'll find something to hang around your neck. Discrimination, religious discrimination, hate speech, something. We'll come up with something and you'll be gone. And we'll find doctors and nurses and healthcare practitioners that do the dirty work that we demand, including second and third term abortions. Second and third trimester abortions, which are absolutely banned in every country in the world except about six, including the United States, North Korea, China, and Iran. Nice company to keep if you're a terrorist. I was born and raised to believe that America believes in human rights, and we defend human rights around the world. We should do that here at home. And forcing doctors of faith to perform abortions is unconscionable and will mean even less American doctors come out of medical school in the years to come. Keep that in mind. Speaking of medicine, today in America, there are 28 cases of flu. 28. At this time, 1 year ago, there were 15,000 reported cases of flu. It's a miracle. Hallelujah, boys and girls. Hallelujah, it's a miracle because COVID has cured influenza. I mean, the wonders of modern medicine will never cease. 14,657 cases, a rate of 29.6%. Today's rate, 0.1%. Oh, what a difference a year makes. Isn't it great how COVID has cured the flu? I feel better already. It's 14 after. Don't go anywhere. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
I have always been a I can do it kind of girl. This is Johnny Erickson Tata, and even when I was little, they tell me my first words were me do. The first time I rode a bike, I just knew I was balancing it all by myself. But then I noticed that my father was running alongside with his hand on the back fender. I protested, "Daddy, let me do it. Don't help me. Let me do it." Well, I got my way and went crashing into the sidewalk with my bike. But my independence ended when I was 17. That's when I broke my neck diving into the Chesapeake Bay, which resulted in quadriplegia. That was over 40 years ago. And if there's one thing I have had to learn as a quadriplegic, it's to ask for help and then to receive that help graciously. Hey, it's okay to ask for help. It's one way of encouraging others to get close and learn how to serve. If you need help, ask from disabilitycampaign.org.